Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual wellness and physical health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ribble. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, good evening. My name is Robin Albright McKean, and I am your host this evening for Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. My usual co-host, Lisa Ribble, is unfortunately still not feeling up to being on the radio. She's recovering from knee replacement surgery. Lee, if you're listening, hi, I miss you. You got me, and I'm here this evening. So I'm looking for people to call in and talk to me, since Lee's not here to talk with me. So if you'd like to call in this evening and talk about the health benefits, advantages, tell stories about your favorite pets and how they warm your heart. We're here tonight talking about animals and how they benefit our health and what the exchange is and how that energy exchange is beneficial for both animals and people. If you'd like to call in, the number is 646-564-9714. When you call in, you will hear, you know, the welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And then if you'll just hit the one button, once the music starts, it'll tell the engineer that you are, in fact, in line and have something to ask me or some story to share. So I'd be happy to hear from you if you'd like to be so kind as to call up and help me out a little bit this evening with filling a little bit of time. It's hard to do all by yourself, and I totally am going to miss Lisa tonight. Okay, so one of the many things that studies they've done over the years in reference to animals and benefiting people's health are some things that you might not think of. Things like just petting your dog or your cat will lower your blood pressure. And they say that it's because it's relaxing and it's reassuring and you're nurturing another, you know, living creature, particularly for people who live alone. People who don't have any other, the elderly or singles, they don't have anybody else at home to come home to. People who come home to an empty house on a chronic basis, on an everyday basis, tend to lead shorter lives, believe it or not. They actually did studies that people who come home to an animal or come home to other people live longer than people who are alone. So right there is a really great reason to have a pet, especially if you don't have a lot of family members when you come home. The other thing is, they also did a study, people who, when they leave the house in the morning, men who kiss their wives goodbye live longer. than men who don't, even if they're married. And then men who have wives live longer than men who don't. Although men who have pets, or a pet, a dog, a cat, live longer than men who don't. So, happy life, happy marriage, happy wife. You live the longest. Remember that, there are guys out there. They did not do a study, at least not one that I could find, with the opposite, where, you know, women. So don't accuse me of being sexist. I'm just quoting the study that I could find. I know personally I have always had pets in my life. Currently we have 3 cats, 1 dog, and 5 chickens. But although I don't really consider the chickens to be pets, we have them for the eggs, obviously. But they actually are quite interesting to watch and observe. They interact like a family. And it's interesting because I now know why they make the correlation between sort of, you know, that henpecked and, you know, calling a bunch of ladies sitting around, gossiping a bunch of hens. I get that now from having watched my own chickens, because every once in a while they'll get upset with one of the chickens in their group and they'll pick on her mercilessly. I mean, to the point where she's bloody and, you know, she'll have to go off and be by herself for a while. They'll really will ostracize her for a little while about whatever it is that they're having their little argument about. It's interesting. But again, you know, as I said, it's, interesting to see the correlation. The other thing is, one of the other health benefits about owning animals, think about your dog. You know, when you walk through the door at night, no matter what kind of crappy day you may or may not have had, good day, bad day, indifferent, your dog is happy to see you. He's there. She's there to wag their tail and make you smile. You can't help when you come home at night seeing your dog and smiling, because they're just so darn happy that you're home. You are their entire world. The other thing about dogs in particular is most people have to put their dog on a leash and take him for a walk. So it gets you outside, which gets you a little bit of gentle exercise. Gets you out into the sun, which gives you a little extra vitamin D, and that helps to, you know, ward off depressions and other health ailments, cancer, obesity, heart attacks, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And you get to be out, you know, in nature, even if you're just walking down a city street, but it's got trees. It's still better than sitting inside. And that's always a good thing, is to get a little exercise. I'm getting notes from the engineer. Sorry, folks, for the quiet there. Also, getting out and walking with your dog is going to give you a little bit of energy boost and actually strengthens your, not only your muscles and your body, just the walking and your bones, but also, believe it or not, it improves your, they've shown it improves your self-esteem. Interesting. Also, owning a dog and going for a walk with your dog, but the ownership of the dog, the interaction with the dog, the you know, camaraderie that you get from the dog, the support that you feel from the dog, actually not only lowers just your cholesterol, but your triglycerides. And it will, you know, also help you to have better circulation, and just in general makes you feel better because you're engaged with something and there's somebody in your house. Another thing that you don't hear too much about with pet benefits, is if you have allergies, eventually, you know, slow exposure to a cat or a dog. And the dust and whatnot that they bring into the house, a lot of people get really hung up about the dirt and the dust and, you know, the cat hair and the dog hair. But it's actually good for your allergies. It says here, studies have shown that children who were exposed to two or more dogs or cats as babies were less than half as likely to develop allergies later in life to things like dust, grass, ragweed, and other pet allergies, and were at lower risk for asthma. And again, you know what? This goes back to that, the cleaner the environment, the less we get exposed to, the more sensitive we become to these things. So if you're getting little doses constantly of these naturally occurring allergens, your body fights them off, and you're less likely to have big, full-blown allergies as you grow older because you've never been exposed to this stuff before. So it was actually one that surprised me a little bit. Animals also kind of get your mind off your troubles. So if you've had a really rough day and you come home, you've got that smiling dog or the pussycat that wants to jump up in your lap and be loved and have attention. It gets your mind off your stuff and actually allows your mind to wander. And sometimes through that wandering and that relaxation, you'll actually come to some sort of solution for your problem. And without a lot of heavy thought, because sometimes it's all about just letting our own minds relax. And if you can get them to relax, you can solve your own problem. But we get so caught up in our stress of our day-to-day and focused on our own little stuff that we forget to relax and just think about it in a detached way. And so much more can be seen when you look at things through a more detached vision. And also the fact that, you know, you can tell your pets anything, and you know they're not going to repeat it to anybody. That actually helps some people a lot. If you don't have anybody to talk to, you can talk to your pet about anything. And, again, they're not going to tell anybody. You know that. I often tell my students, if you don't have a pet to talk to, go out and talk to a tree. Same thing, you know. Find some way to vent your emotions if you don't have any other outlet. No, you know, you don't have friends close by and you don't have a pet. One of the other things that's really important for people as they become more mature in life, senior citizens as it were, they give you a purpose. You have to get up and feed the dog or the cat. You have to be there to take care of them. And, you know, a lot of the, if you've done any research into blue zones, blue zones are places where people live to be over 100 on a routine basis, like Osaka, Japan. If you looked at the blue zone statistics, one of the main things that these people say who have lived to this, you know, over 100, is they have a purpose every day to get up. They have a reason to live, a reason to get up the next day, to give love to people, to love their animals. There's a woman in Osaka, Japan, who takes care of cats, and she's got hundreds and hundreds of cats. And that's her purpose. And she will probably live to be over 100. But pets also instill in us, again, going back to that sort of that nurturing thing, in a lot of ways, and some people take care of them like they're babies, and takes us back to a younger time in our life when we had people we had to care for, and that depended on us. And I think women in particular miss that aspect of having children when they grow up. You know, for so often we hear about when men retire, men sort of view themselves through the eyes of what they did for a living as to who they are and their place in the universe. You know, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, the guy who parks your car, whatever their job is, that is pretty much how they viewed themselves. And when they stop working, they have to go through this thing where they find themselves again. They don't know who they are. They have to get a hobby, or they just curl up their toes and sit on the couch until they die. I mean, it depends on the individual. But I think for women, we have this sort of gradual growing up and moving away from our children. And so to replace some of that "they need me" sensation, you know, which starts, you know, when our babies probably are about, I don't know, between six and nine months old, and they can start doing things. And says, "Oh, my God, he rolled over for the first time. He doesn't need me to move anymore." It's just a gradual thing where they, you know, you have to give things up as they grow, doing things for them. And in some ways it's great because, you know, you have less you have to do. But in other ways it's heartbreaking because, you know, as the children grow up and move away from you, they don't need you. You have less to do. You feel less important. You feel less needed. And it can be really hard. So now is a great time to get a pet and feel that sense of the pet needs me every day. They need to be fed, they need to be walked, they need to have their litter changed, they need to be petted, they need their treats, whatever it is, you're needed and loved. And it's an unconditional love. Animals will love you no matter what you do. I mean, we always hear the stories about, you know, the guy who comes home every night and kicks his dog, which is horrible. But the dog the next day still comes to the door and greets him. It's just the way it goes. The other thing that animals do for us is they remind us every day to play. They will play fetch. They will chase things if we throw them, you know, on the floor. My cats love me. When I wad up a little piece of paper and throw it on the floor for them, they'll play fetch with me. And it just seems to, it relaxes them but us, and it's something we do together. We're playing a game with somebody. So there's so much to this about companionship and company and exercise and joy that animals bring to us that we wouldn't get if they weren't in our lives. And it does give, and they've shown, you know, serotonin levels increase, which are the things that make us, you know, pretty happy in our brain. And so that all goes to improving one's health, lifting your mood, increasing your serotonin and your vitamin D for getting out and walking the dog, or even, you know, you'll see cats, they'll sun themselves in the windows. So even if you just go and sit near your cat and pet it and you're in the sunny, sunny window, it's going to make you feel better. If there's anyone out there who has a story about a pet, for example, that helped them improve their health, feel free to give me a call at 646-564-9714, and we'll see if we can't get you on and talk about your experience. I will say, I've had my dog Peanut for almost 12 years, and she is just the best thing in my day besides my daughter. She's been there for me through thick and thin. She is now approaching, you know, that time in life where she may not be with us too much longer. You know, she's 12 and she's a dog. This is maybe one of the hardest things to think about, is not having that animal with us anymore. And I happen to know it's one of the things that keeps a lot of people from getting animals, because they don't want to have to go through the ending of the relationship with that animal, the fear of that pain and discomfiture, and how that feels. But you know what? Even that part of this goes to improving our lives in the long run, because it teaches us how to deal with change, with grief. You know, yeah, it's a horrible thing when your animal passes away, because it is like losing a member of your family. But children need to see the passing, the coming and going and the passing of life as a natural part of life. It's a terrible thing when people get to be, you know, 38 years old and finally one of their grandparents dies, you know, and it's their first experience with that sort of thing. They never had a pet that passed away. They never had, you know, anything. They never had the turtle burial in the bathroom at the toilet, over the toilet, you know, or the goldfish. Everybody should have some sort of experience with that, you know, as they come into adulthood. It just gives you a more well-rounded sense of self, and a sense that, you know, you can't waste your time. You need to get on with it, you know. Because after all, how much time do any of us have? We never know. So you might as well, you know, live for today. And that's something that pets do so well. They're such an example in that way. They live in the present moment. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not upset about yesterday. They live in the present moment. And it's very, very clear that that's part of our attraction to our animals. And one more time for the phone number. I've been told I gave it out and said it too fast. So that phone number is 646-564-9714. If you'd like to call in and share a story about your animal. One of my favorite stories about Peanut that I love to share, and I probably have talked about this before on the air. My dog, this is going back several years now, and she had her best friend, this little rat terrier that lived next door. The little dog's name was Abby. And we were all walking home from my neighbor's house across the yard one evening when Abby decided she was going to go up into the woods and stick her head down into this gopher hole. And, you know, that's what rat terriers do. They went down holes hunting little hunting dogs. And this groundhog decided to grab this little dog, Abby, by the nose and tore the side of its nose completely, unattached it. And the poor thing had to go to the vet almost immediately. So the next day, my dog, I go outside, and she's sitting there, and she's very proudly got this big, dead groundhog. She killed the groundhog that had hurt her friend. And I was like, okay, you know, I get that. The dog next door put a hit out on the groundhog, and Peanut fulfilled the hit. Well, we've been living here on the mountain for almost 10 years now, and this is pretty much the only animal that my dog has ever killed that I've been aware of. There may be others. She just doesn't bring them home, but there were 3 baby groundhogs in that hole, and a mother and a father living in that den. My dog killed them all because, in her mind, they all had something to do with the attack on her good buddy, the dog from next door, Abby. She was so proud of herself, but that's a dog that sees everybody, including the other dog, as part of her family, part of her pack, and how they protect their pack. And I think that that's another thing in particular that animals do for us, is they make us have a sense of belonging. We are part of a family, even if we don't have our family right with us. Especially when you see, you know, people who have, like me, multiple pets. You've always got, you know, your family's always there, as it were, in the house with you. And they're not going to grow up and move away, you know. I mean, they will obviously pass on at some point, but it's not quite the same. Oh, my. Excuse me. I'm having trouble staying awake without Lisa. Now, cats in particular have a little bit of a different way of focusing our energy than dogs do. You know, dogs have this whole, you know, always will love you. Always will love you, and no matter what you do. Cats can be somewhat aloof at times and standoffish, which makes you try to gain their approval. So there's another aspect of that with a cat where, you know, we always had this relationship, or most people have a relationship with their parents or sometimes friends where they feel they need to have their approval. Well, cats work with the same sort of emotion, and that's very appealing to some people. You know, if I can make my cat happy, I can make anybody happy. And and that makes them feel good when they realize they've been able to make their cat happy, and it boosts their self-esteem. And so that's another way that having animals affects us all the way across the board about just about everything you can think of in your day to day. It looks to me like it's almost time for a song. About half an hour past the hour, and I do believe the engineer is queuing up a song now, and I'm sure he will let me know what it's going to be here any moment. He's looking for it. He said he found it, but now he lost it. Okay. Land, the song will be Land, Sea, and Sky by Darv the Bard. And here we go. I'll see you in a little bit.
I hear your reply. our places with the land and the sky and the sea. Cynical thoughts and lies that distort all that is true, all that is true. They disappear when I feel that you're near, when I'm with.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Hello, and we are back after the break. This evening, we are here on Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health, and I'm your host, Robin McKean, and we're speaking about the health benefits of owning pets. And one of the things that we are looking for is if anybody out there has any stories or comments they'd like to share with us here on the air, they can call in at 646-564-9714, and I'll be happy to put you on the air and talk to you for a few moments. The other thing, I was just sort of searching around and found a site about people who have Alzheimer's and pet ownership, and how if there's a pet in the home, they've documented that those Alzheimer's patients will suffer less stress and have fewer anxious outbursts. And so it helps them to relax, and probably is also just good, you know, to have that constant companion as well. I mean, there's a long history of dogs helping, you know, people who are blind or handicapped in their homes physically. But what they also do for those people is give them a sense of deep security, especially people who are blind. You know, after my husband died in 2010, I really felt unsafe. It's a pretty common thing, you know, when you lose your husband or when children lose their father. And so here I was with a 5-year-old little girl, and we're living out in the country. And honestly, if it hadn't been for the dog making me feel like she was listening and she was our alarm system, I don't really know how I would have felt. I probably would have had to have gone out and gotten a dog. So I can hardly recommend that if you have just lost a spouse and you don't have a pet, specifically a dog, I would definitely go out and get one. I still have the dog, but also now, you know, I'm remarried and have the new husband, Mr. Power, and very happy with that situation. And he actually puts up with me and all my weird pets. The dog, he loves. He actually is a dog person, and I like them all. I like dogs and cats. I don't have a favorite one way or the other, which is why we have both. But he's mainly a dog person, although I think he seems to be coming around a little bit when it comes to the cats. He actually, don't tell anybody, actually will call the cats up into his lap and pet them. And he snuggles with them, and he gives them little noodles. He kisses their noses and rubs their ears and tells them how cute they are. But he'll probably deny it if you ask him about it. So I'm looking at another article online here about people and their pets, and it says here that even watching fish in an aquarium will help reduce tension and can lower somebody's pulse rate and their stress levels. And whenever you lower your stress levels, you're allowing your brain to release, you know, the good stuff, the dopamine and the serotonins. That's the stuff that combats high blood pressure and, you know, bad cholesterol and depression. And so, you know, all those things are good. Anything that brings down your stress level and does that. You know, there's another thing in here about horseback riding, doing some of the same things, and also being really good at building confidence and making a connection between you and the horse, because you've got to really communicate with that horse in order to get the horse to, you know, do what it is you're thinking that you'd like to do. Another thing they say that pets are really good for is if you're a family and you're going through a divorce and there are children in the home, and they suddenly feel like the house is a little bit empty because of the absence of the one parent, that sometimes getting a dog or a cat is a really great way to make the house feel a little more full, have a positive distraction, something to alleviate some of the stress. Teaches adults how to play as well. Again, you know, especially as adults and especially in stressful situations at times when, you know, let's say you're a caretaker for somebody who's not well, or you're going through a stressful divorce or things are just difficult. Sometimes that's a really great time to have a pet, as long as you can afford it. as a another source of love and support in the home, and it, just to make everybody feel better. May I say that if you are contemplating getting an animal, to please, 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 I can't stress this enough, go to a local no-kill shelter or other shelter. Just go to a shelter. Find an animal that is looking for a wonderful home. I live in Pennsylvania, which is probably the biggest puppy mill state in the area, and it's such a sad state of affairs that that still goes on. They are trying their best to stop it, but every week you pick up the paper and there's ads in there for dogs and cats from these mills, these animal mills. Come get your pet, come get your pet. And I just don't understand it. You can go to the local shelter and get an adorable puppy or kitten for very little, donation, basically. Or you can go to one of these breeders where they treat the animals terribly because there's not enough enforcement built into the state budget for people to go around and visit these farms and correct problems that may arise. And oh, by the way, it's $250 for that dog, or it's $500 for that dog or that cat. And, it just seems to me to be a little bit excessive and crazy when you can go to this local shelter and give a really great animal a home. Because you know what? It's not so much what the cat looks like as it is, or the dog looks like, as it is what that animal is going to do for you in your home as far as, love, unconditional love, and there's nothing that can replace that. So whether the animal has spots or stripes or it's brown or it's black or it's white or it's whatever color you were looking for, don't be so cued into what it looks like. We're so status-oriented. They actually done studies that black cats get adopted less because people still believe that stereotype that black cats are unlucky. Personally, I think it has more to do with the fact that black cat fur, people think they can see it more on the couch than white cat fur, which, let me tell you something, I've had black cats, I've had white cats. You can see it all. It doesn't matter. So you really shouldn't be worried about. Really shouldn't be worried about what color the animal is, as long as you love it. There's also a few good charities out there. A friend of mine is involved with a charity that gets dogs and trains them to help disabled veterans. And that's a wonderful charity. We've had those people on the show here in the past. So if you go back into the archives of the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Show, you will find that show with Marcy Munden on it, and she listen to that show, and that's a great organization. One of the other things that as people, as shamans, pagans, however you want to consider your spirituality, there are some people who believe that animals can be what are called familiars, which means they are engaged in supporting you in your spiritual practice and whatever magic you may also be doing. I can say I've had a few experiences that were rather interesting in regard to that sort of thing. But again, if anybody's got any stories they'd like to share, don't be afraid to call in and let me know what your story might be. And again, the call-in number is 646-564-9714. You guys are being awful quiet out there tonight. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Usually by now somebody has called in to talk to me. But anyway, The lives of most dogs and cats these days are pretty good, and what we get back from them is even better. So what we give out, we get back at least threefold from our animals. And having had a very close relationship, particularly with one cat that I had, this cat, we lived in New Jersey at this time, and I've had this cat for, I get probably about 20 years at this point. And I went to visit my aunt and uncle in Dallas, Texas. And while we were there, I was going to sleep one night in the hotel where we were staying, and I could hear my cat meowing for me like he was in pain. So I, called the cat sitter, and she was all, "Oh, no, you know, the cat's fine, he's fine, he's fine." I'm like, "Is he eating? Does he look okay? There's something wrong. I just know it." And I had always had this really deep connection with this cat. I've never had a cat that I've had quite such a connection with since or before that. He had just always been almost psychic with me. So the cat sitter reassures me that everything is fine. And so I go through the rest of the week out in Dallas, and finally come home. And I get home, and the minute I look at him, I can tell there's something wrong. He looks like he's lost 5 pounds, you know, and a 12-pound cat. 5 pounds is a lot of weight. He looks like he's lost 5 pounds while I was gone. You can see he's having trouble swallowing. He's wheezing when he's breathing. I can't believe the cat sitter didn't notice this. I'm very annoyed with her. And I scoop up my pet, and I take him to the vet. Turns out that at some point, the cat had gotten into some chicken bones or something and had perforated, the bone had perforated his throat. And it would have been very delicate, very risky surgery to do on a 20-year-old cat. And it would have been a lot of discomfort. And the vet basically said, "You know, we can give this a shot," but he didn't see it being a very positive outcome. And so his recommendation was to put the cat down. That was probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. There have been harder things, like, you know, telling my daughter that her father had passed away in 2010 when she was 5. That was pretty tough. But this losing this cat was pretty big. So I'm in the vet office, and I'm talking to my cat, and I'm telling him what's happening. And he's still in so much discomfort. You can just see it in his face. You can see it in his body language. And at one point, he just looked at me, nodded, and he licked the end of my nose like 3 times, as if to say, "It's okay, Mom. I'm ready. It's okay." And when the vet, they did this in stages. The vet gives him the first couple of injections and to get him to relax and sort of to get twilighty. And after he gave him the first injections, all of a sudden the cat was out of pain. And so the cat just started loving up on me, rubbing his face on me, was happy to see me finally. You know, what he hadn't done since I'd been home, because he'd been so uncomfortable. And he just licked my whole face and loved me. And he just, it was almost like he knew and he was saying goodbye. And it was really, I mean, I was crying hysterical, and he's licking my tears. And this cat was just amazing. And finally, with this poor vet, we were there for like, I don't know, hours saying goodbye to this cat. And the vet finally, you know, euthanized him, gives him the final injections. And and he passed, and we buried him in the yard. But I've never had a connection so deep to any of my other animals as I did to that one. So I do believe that the concept of familiars, that it's out there, that it happens, that you sometimes meet either maybe it's a person, a soul that you've known before, and they come back as an animal and you have some sort of interaction with them, and it's just immediate and constant. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what accounts for that. I've never really honestly had an animal that I practiced magic with in that way. So I really was kind of looking for people to give me some stories to flush out the concept of familiars and see how other people have viewed them and how other people have encountered animals that they had a concept of. The only time I ever had an animal present themselves to me as a helper, I guess you could say, in a working, was years and years and years ago while I was still a solitary, living in Manalip in New Jersey. I went down into the woods and out adjacent to my development and decided I was going to do a ritual, and something just didn't feel right when I was out there in the woods, and I decided I was going to, you know, come home. And I get back to my house and I decide, well, you know what, I'll just stand on the front stones here in the front of my house, the paving stones, and do a little ritual quietly to myself. So as I'm there and I'm doing the ritual and I am calling quarters and I'm calling the god and goddess, and I look down at my feet, what I've done, and there is this large scarab-looking beetle. And I couldn't believe my eyes, because I've always read about Egyptian scarabs. And, you know, here was this beetle that had to be as long, if not longer, than my thumb, and fat. And it was a scarab. It was a huge beetle. And it's dancing. It's like spinning over on its back and twirling around. It looked like it was breakdancing with its little legs in the air. I know this sounds crazy, but, and then flapping its wings like it was going to fly, and then it'd flip over and spin around on its back. And it was literally dancing in my circle for me. And I, you know, don't really know what it was trying to tell me, but afterward I did a whole lot of research about these beetles, and they're actually just dung beetles, but they are related to the Egyptian scarab beetles. And that night was sort of a turning point for me in my practice. I do believe it was that night that I went from wanting to always be solitary to feeling like I needed to do something and be a part of a group or get out more into the community. It was an opening, if you will, of a kind, and I kind of feel in some ways that scarab beetle, that beetle was there to give me that message that it was time to stop dancing alone and get some company at these circles and, you know, do these things with other people. So it was quite an interesting experience. So, those are my two experiences with animals having some sort of supernatural, if you will, connection or experience. I see by the clock on the wall that it's about 5 minutes to 11, and we should be done here shortly, wrapping up. So I will give the information that we give every week, which is how to get in touch with me or how to get in touch with the station and how to get in touch with Terry. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I can be reached at the Facebook page, Spiritual Wellness Physical Health, or on my personal Facebook page, Robin A. McKean. If you'd like to get in touch with the station via email, you can email CERN. Oh, excuse me. Oh, you can email CERN, S-U-R-N, www.healthingyou.org@gmail.com. Or you can also get in touch with Terry or myself via email at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. If for some reason you needed to get in touch with Terry, you can reach him at his Facebook page, Terry Power in Cosplay, Pennsylvania. Or you can get in touch with him also by going to the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. Also myself, we both check that page. Also, he has a public figure Facebook page, which is Rev Terry Power HP. So there's plenty of ways to get in touch with us. And just whenever you get in touch with us, just make sure you let us know the subject of your message and contact information and your name so that we can get back in touch with you. That's one of the horrible things is people send us emails and then the email address doesn't work for some reason. Or it, you know, it'll bounce back. Just who knows why? I don't know why, but it tends to sometimes happen. So please, if you're not sure about your email address going back to you, then give us a Facebook page that we can PM you through or whatever. Then one other way of reaching you, and we'll be happy to do that. The Thursday night show that we do here on the network, often we take questions from the audience to answer. So if you have a question that you'd like answered, feel free to send that along to the CERN@gmail address, the CERN.org@gmail address, and put in the subject, you know, questions for Thursday night show. The other thing is that Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings, as a consulting speaking engagement sort of business that Terry and I have, we give workshops in all kinds of subjects. We do one on forgiveness. We do lots of couples workshops on communication. We do effective communication in the workplace. We help people basically to improve themselves through helping them to connect with the divine out there, and also looking within themselves and overcoming their fears and moving forward on their path. I am a certified holistic health coach, and Terry has been a reverend for over 15 years with lots of experience in counseling. So together we make this wonderful team, and we approach it from two really very different aspects, all in the pursuit of if we can make one person a better person and make them happier, it makes the world a little bit better place. So with all those thoughts out there, if you'd like to get in touch with us, again, that Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page is the place to reach us in reference to that. If you'd like us to come and give a lecture or a workshop at your event or at your employer, please feel free to give us a shout on the page and we will get back to you. And with that, it is now 10:59. Amazing, I can talk for almost 5 minutes straight, isn't it? And I'd like to say good evening, good night to everybody. And until we meet again next week, I will say, spread the love. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.